Turn with me to the book of Acts again in chapter 13, and I want to read from verses 38 to 43. Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. Verse 42, so when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The last Lord's Day, we began this sermon of the Apostle Paul, which is the first sermon of the Apostle Paul, not the first sermon that he preached, but the first sermon recorded for us. And so far, you notice that after the resurrection, there has been three grand and great and programmatic sermons preached, which have been recorded for us here in the book of Acts. There's one more to go. The first one was, of course, that of the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2. The second one is that of the great Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Here we have the third, and then Acts chapter 17 in Athens, the Apostle Paul preaching to the Gentiles and the Greek philosophers at the Areopagus. Now, we looked at the first portion of this sermon, and I pointed out that they are divided into three sections by the words of the Apostle Paul himself. Men of Israel, or men and brethren, listen. And the first section that we saw last time, verses 16 to 25, is a recall and remembering of the history of Jehovah's goodness to his people for the last 2,000 years. 2,000 years from when the Apostle Paul was preaching. It is vitally important for God's people to know the history of God's dealings with his ancient people. And then, of course, the New Testament and the church history of God's gracious dealings with his people. And he sums it up in eight different ways. And the first of the blessings that the Apostle Paul mentions in his sermon is going back to that of Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob. He chose our fathers, verse 17. And then he speaks about the blessing of Jehovah to the children of Israel in Egypt. Again in verse 17, he exalted them. Thirdly, he delivered them out of Egypt, verse 17. And then he tells us about his grace to them in the wilderness, how he put up with them, how they grumbled against his servant and against his provisions in the desert, but he put up with them. And then he speaks about his great work during the days of Joshua. One, he destroyed the nations, the seven nations of Canaan, which he had promised to Abraham 400 odd years before. And then he distributed the land to the people. And then he talks about the blessing during the period of the judges, which was a very stark and dark period in the history of the children of Israel. If you read the book of Judges, it was a time when the people of God continually backslid from the laws of God. Not only that, the caption of the period of the judges is what? Every man did what was right in his own eyes. But in spite of that, God persevered with them and gave them judges. The judges themselves were not always exemplary beings, but God used these imperfect men to deliver them from their surrounding oppressors. Then he gave them kings. He gave them a king after their own heart, and then he removed them, the king Saul, then he gave them a king after his own heart. And finally, the greatest of blessings, the promise of the one to come through David's seed, who was pointed out by the greatest prophet of them all, John the Baptist, greatest because he was able to directly point to the Messiah. And we saw how every one of these blessings in principle applied to the children of God today. We have been blessed in every one of these ways. We have not only been blessed in the past, but we have also been disobedient, and God has had to put up with us, just as he put up with the children of Israel in the wilderness. We've also wandered in our own ways, even though we belong to the covenant of God in the outward sense, and even the true people of God. And as we come to the end of the year, or as we're just past the end of the year, there'll be nothing more appropriate for us than to sit and remember God's blessings to us in the past. He chose us. He bore with us. He delivered us numerous times from the hardness of our own hearts. He's preserved us in the land of the living. He's pointed us through prophets and preachers and parents and others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should praise God for his goodness to us in the past. This morning we want to come to the second part, or the second section of Paul's sermon. And the second section of Paul's sermon, beginning at verse 26, has to do with God's present blessings and the greatest of his blessings. And you'll notice that he repeatedly addresses his current hearers about this present blessing. In verse 26, the Apostle Paul tells his hearers, "To you this word of salvation has been sent." Verse 32, "And we declare to you glad tidings." Verse 34, he has spoken thus, "I will give you the sure mercies of David." The sure mercies of David, meaning the covenant blessing, that the eternal covenant that God had promised to David in his seed. And then, of course, in verse 38, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. So not only is Paul pointing out God's past graciousness to his people through the running centuries and the different generations to the fathers, but he now comes to his hearers and he says that God has promised this great blessing in Jesus Christ to you. They're present, they're for today. And he says that this present blessings in Christ Jesus are in fulfillment of the ancient prophecies. Three times, in verse 27, verse 29, and verse 33, he mentions the word fulfilled. And he's looking at the ancient prophecies of the blessings that God had promised in Christ to the generation to come and the generations following after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he quotes Psalm 27, Isaiah 53, and Psalm 16 and verse 10, proving the fulfillment of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we dealt with them often, and I don't want to take time to explain these verses in detail. We do want to touch on them. You notice that in verse 33, he says, he quotes from Psalm 2 and verse 7, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And he's speaking this in reference to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah 55 and verse 3, which he quotes in verse 34, "I'll give you the sure mercies of David." So first we have a 1,000-year-old prophecy about the resurrection, and then we have a 700-year-old or 750, somewhere between 740 and 700-year-old prophecy about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. "I will give you the sure mercies of David." You remember the crux of the covenant made with David was that I will give you a son who will have an everlasting kingdom. And he proves the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ through this. And then quoting exactly the verse that Peter quoted in Acts 2, quoting Psalm 16 and verse 10, "You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption," verse 35. And then he repeats exactly what Peter said in Acts chapter 2 in verse 36 and verse 37. "For David," that is, he's saying that if these words refer to David, then David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. David saw corruption. Of course, David will be raised up again from corruption in the last appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this promise applies fully and completely only to the greater son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died and he was buried, but he did not see corruption. And so this great blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ is fulfilled, the blessing of a resurrected Savior, not merely as an example or to thrill us, but the resurrection is the guarantee that we also will rise. "He who believes in me, though he dies, shall rise again." And so the present blessing of all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is that because he rose again, we will also rise. And again, he emphasizes that this blessing is to you and to your children. Listen to his words in verse 26. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you this blessing has been sent. To you we declare the glad tidings of salvation. Verse 38. And verse 33. God has fulfilled this to us who are their children. And the Apostle Peter is the example that the Apostle Paul is following here. You remember in Acts 2 and verse 39, when he finishes his sermon, he says this, "For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off and who are near." So the Apostle Paul in his sermon, in the first recorded sermon, applies this sermon to those who are listening to him. And we know that he's basing it on the promise that Peter picks up according to the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Other sheep have I also who are of another fold." And the Apostle Peter says, as I've already quoted, that this promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. By God's grace, there are many present here whom the Lord has called and who know this blessing. And all of us have been those who were far from the commonwealth of Israel, or at least almost all of us. And the promise is to those who were of the covenant and those who were afar off, and certainly for our children. And so Paul stresses the importance of this blessing being not only historical, it's grounded in history, but being a blessing for the present. It's God's greatest blessing for us as we enter the new year. We not only thank God for what he has done for us in the past, but as you look to the future, we don't know what in the providence of God awaits us. Have you heard the news? There are many people who were slaughtered last night or yesterday. And people are dying by the thousands and the millions on the roads and even by natural causes. And we don't know whether things will take a turn for the worse, economically or health-wise. But you see, the Word of God tells us that in spite of all these things, God has an eternal blessing for us, the sure mercies of David, to us and to our children. The problem is that we are so caught up with the temporal blessings, which are but a vapor, and it's passing. Even the great David saw death, he was buried, and he saw corruption. But there is a blessing of God which was promised to Abraham and then ratified to David, the eternal blessings in Christ Jesus, the seed of Abraham, the ultimate seed, and the ultimate seed of David, the Son of God, which is eternal. And it promises us justification instead of being condemned. It promises us glad tidings instead of being desolate because of our sins. And it promises us forgiveness of sins, a new life. And it is exactly what is promised for us, to us and to our children, to them and to their children, to us and to our children. And therefore we can have hope as we pray and live our lives and witness to our children and to our loved ones. And I trust that this new year, as we listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, written down for us by the inspiration of or the outbreathing of God the Spirit, that we are renewed in hope for ourselves, the eternal hope, that what we set our minds on is the sure and eternal covenant of mercies promised to David in his son. And the third and the last section, verses 38 to 43, concerns the gospel offer in Christ. You notice, first of all, the Apostle Paul, as he closes, offers a free and universal welcome to all in Christ for salvation. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, to you, all who are within his earshot. There's no exception. The offer is to all. And the offer is not only to all who are within his earshot, but to the but who have heard the gospel from anyone. For those who know the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures. And in verse 39 it says, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things. Everyone. Now, everyone means all who receive the gospel for themselves. Everyone who hears and receives the word of God for themselves. We use the example of food. It's not enough when you're hungry to simply admire the food that is set before you. But you have to reach out and take the food. It's the same thing when it comes to the eternal water of life that the Lord Jesus Christ offers, or the bread of life that he is. We have to reach out and take him. And that is what these emblems typify, the bread of life that is broken for us, which we reach out by faith and spiritually consume, so that we who are children of death might have life. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but it is they that testify of me. And so we've got to hear, and we've got to reach out, and we've got to put our trust in him. We've also got to call upon him. Remember what the scripture says from beginning to end. Look to me, or call upon me. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Call upon me and I will deliver you, says Jehovah. Or as the Lord Jesus Christ said, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. So it's a universal offer. It's a free offer. But it's a free offer for those who will receive it. Those who will call upon him. Those who will seek him. And those who will pray to him for salvation. And so the Apostle Paul pronounces not only the great blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ in the present, he offers it universally to those who will come to him. Now, you've heard the gospel many times. You've read it perhaps even this week in the Word of God. Have you come to him? Have you received this welcome? Do you know what it is to call upon him and to wait upon him and to trust him when he says that if you come to me, you will have eternal life? But you see, the Apostle Paul, as the Lord Jesus did and many portions of the scriptures do, closes with the word of not just welcome, but warning. Look what he says in verse 40 and following. It's a word of serious warning. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. He pronounces a warning, which is also a prophecy from the book of Isaiah. And the Lord Jesus Christ did this in Matthew chapter 13. The gospel is spoken, it is declared, it is preached, it is lived, and it is commended to you by the prophets and the apostles and by preachers and teachers and the word of God itself. And it's a free, universal offer for everyone who will believe and receive it. But be warned. Beware. Lest what the prophets have spoken come upon you. And what did the prophet say? Behold, you despisers. What does despiser mean? A despiser here means one who doesn't take the seriousness of the offer of the gospel and the warning of rejection to heart. I think tomorrow, the day after, or like the rich man, I have plenty of time. I've got plenty of health. I've got plenty of days. Let me live out my life and enjoy it. And the Lord says, fool, today your life is required of you. Or if he doesn't say that, there are times when even a man is alive or a woman is alive or he's given over to his unbelief. And none of us can tell when that point is. As long as we are alive and the gospel is preached, there is a free grace available to all who will turn. But see, there is a warning. Beware. Do not despise the hearing of the word of God. Do not despise the memory of the word of the gospel. As it has been prophesied hundreds of years ago, marvel and perish. Why? Because you would not believe even though one were to declare it to you. So we trust that this morning we will embrace the blessing of the gospel. Believers especially, as we run and see God's heart to melt our hard hearts and to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of God afresh for ourselves. And we are not to despise it either. We are to embrace it every day. We come to worship and to offer our praise on the basis of the gospel. We come to the table on the basis of the gospel, forgiveness and justification. We have hope for the future on the basis of Christ and his gospel. We're not to despise it or to treat it lightly as cheap grace. We cannot live as we want to during the week and think that our worship is acceptable or that we can come to the table. But if we have never come, then the offer of free grace of salvation is for you today. And if you have children, or you will have children, it is for them too. But But if not, beware, says the Apostle Paul, quoting the Old Testament prophets. Beware. Marvel and perish. Well, it is our prayer and it is our desire, and it's the prayer and the desire of all who love you and the people of God of all ages, that none should hear and perish. That all should give heed and know life and blessings eternal, the sure mercies of David. Finally, Luke closes with two wonderful observations. It's not part of the sermon, but it's the closing or the conclusion of Dr. Luke, the author's comments about this sermon. And they're marvelous. Verse 42 says, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." It's wonderful, isn't it? People wanting Paul to preach this sermon again, begging him about the grace of God in the past, his grace in the present, the eternal mercies in Christ. To hear the word of welcome and to hear the word of warning. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. And here we have the Gentiles who are far from the commonwealth of Israel. And almost all of us here are Gentiles. Afar off, and we have been brought into the kingdom and this eternal blessing. The Gentiles desired to hear, and many of them were saved. But we are also told in verse 43, "And when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." And so there is a crop brought in from the Gentiles. And there's a crop brought in from the Jews and the proselytes. He started with men of Israel and men who fear God. What a wonderful work of God. What a wonderful response in many of them, although there were many who ended up tragically refusing this, and on whom this prophecy, "Marvel and perish," would come true. Of those who lived in that generation. That goes on. But there is a blessing of those who come to him. And so, people of God, on the threshold of this new year, we preach the same eternal gospel. It can be better preached by better people and better men of God. But no one can preach a better gospel. No one can preach a better word or sermon than this. And the whole emphasis of this sermon is threefold. One is, remember and recall the blessings of God in the past to our fathers, his promises. Secondly, the blessing of God to us and the promises to us and to our children. And thirdly, the free offer to receive and the warning not to despise the gospel. It's preached to you today. Receive it. May we be eager and beg God. They were not ashamed to beg of the Apostle Paul. Some of us have never entered the kingdom because we're too proud to humbly beg of God what we need. Some of us believers have never entered or do not walk according to the way that God would have us walk in fellowship and communion because we are too proud. I know I am. I'm often rebuked and corrected by the words of the great David, who says, "I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinks upon me." Well, may the Lord help us to remember and to recall and to appropriate the blessings of God for ourselves and for our children and our children's children. May we offer it freely, and having received it, may we remember there is also serious warnings. But look what's happening even today, exactly the same thing. Today, throughout the world, there are people of the Gentiles who are entering the kingdom of God. And there are few even from the Jews, although by and large there is a veil over their eyes and their heart is hardened. There are Jews who are entering into the kingdom today. What about you? Have you entered into the blessings? It is for you and for your loved ones and for your children. But may the Lord help us to heed the words of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Apostle, and enter into the blessings eternal. And may we know it in a fuller measure this year. Amen. Let's